Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Vassar and New York Stage and Film's first main stage powerhouse production this season in Poughkeepsie, New York, is Lucy Thurber's Transfers. Thurber is a Lily Award winner and won a 2014 Obie Award for her theatrical cycle, The Hilltown Plays. She was also a member of the influential Obie-winning playwrights collective, 13P. Lucy Thurber, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Before we start talking about your play at Powerhouse, let's talk about your play. Tell us a little bit about the story, the plot.
My play is called Transfers, and it's the story of two young men who are from a low-income background who are hoping to transfer from a community college to an elite private university. And they're up for scholarships, and they sort of find themselves up in a rural New England area, Western Massachusetts, getting ready to go in for a big interview to see if they get the scholarships.
Western Massachusetts is where you're from?
It is indeed.
How important is that to your writing?
It's very important to my writing. I'd say I have a 5-play cycle called The Hilltown Plays, which is what I'm most known for, which is about sort of, it's about growing up in Western Massachusetts from a girl's perspective and from a low-income background perspective. I think there's probably other perspectives of growing up in Western Massachusetts that I'm not writing about. I know definitely there are. And so I think, for me, this play actually grew out of the fact that when I moved to New York City, I ended up sort of by a series of different happenstances teaching in the South Bronx, and I got off the subway one day and I sort of looked around, and it was very much the city, and almost entirely the faces were Black and Hispanic, and it also was very, very familiar to me. I was like, I know that guy, he could have dated my mom. So I sort of was introduced to this idea of sort of the economic structure of America, low income structure, being with obvious differences due to racism and due to class and due to all those sort of things, and location, city is not the same as country, white is not the same as Black in this country, but that there is a, from my experience, a basic economic reality if you're growing up below the poverty line. And I met some beautiful folks and families there. And for me, it was a big deal because I had felt up until that point, I started, and I still do, I run an after school playwriting program. No longer in the South Bronx, it's through MCC Theater, and it's called the Youth Company, and they're awesome, and it's kids from the five boroughs, but primarily from low-income backgrounds, and it meant a lot to me because I have been a scholarship kid. I was a scholarship kid through high school and college, and I had a lot of, I think, what I write about, too, about the Western Massachusetts stuff is that sort of that, what it takes to transfer from, you know, you can be living right next door to somebody or a town away or a block away and be having a completely different experience than the people who are right next door to you due to economics and what economics provide in terms of access, and access gives you choices and possibilities. I know this is a long way to answer this question. While I was there, I met these two young men who were, one was 11 and one was 14 at the time, and this was 12 years ago now, maybe more, and ended up becoming very close with them, sort of, and it was, the play really grew out of my relationship with them and us having conversations around this idea of scholarship and access and education and really having deep, 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 deep beliefs in education in America and deep, deep beliefs that education is the great equalizer, and a deep, deep love of books and learning, and sort of what it takes or how to get access to that. And so that's a long way of saying it is related to Western Massachusetts and also to my current life and love friendships.
Right. How was that love of learning, that strive to write, instilled in you? Where did it come from?
Most definitely my mother. I had a big advantage in the fact, I think, that my mom is from a sort of, I don't know if they would define themselves this way, but I'm going to do it, it's sort of a fallen American aristocracy family. They once had a lot of money and a lot of privilege, and over time had lost it. So I think that her upbringing, I know that her upbringing and sort of her access was very different than mine, but she is a great, great reader and a great, great lover of art and music and all that sort of stuff. So those things were around the house for me all the time. And she really instilled real curiosity in me. And there were books everywhere. So, and she read to me. So definitely my mother.
Place, where you've been, what you've been through is in the stories of your shows. Does where you physically are when you are actually writing matter, or can you do that anywhere?
Oh, you trickster, you. Actually, you know, I say that because it's funny because that's been changing for me. I'd say for over half, maybe more of my career as a playwright, it didn't matter. You could sort of plot me down anywhere and I would just write and the world would disappear. I think that as I have built a life more for myself outside of my own imagination, that the world that I'm, the life that I'm actually living in some ways is actually beyond my imagination in a really lovely way. Where I write matters more now because I have to concentrate harder. So things like space or time or silence or actually matter in a way that's interesting, that's new to me that it didn't before.
This is your first time at Powerhouse?
It is my first time at Powerhouse. I'm very happy to be here. Does that sound creepy?
No, you should. I mean, it makes sense to be happy to be here. Look around.
And also I dropped my voice to express low intensity of commitment or something. I don't know.
How do you come to be here this summer? How does that process go from your end?
I have an awesome, fun, exciting talk with Joanna, who is, as we know, the amazing artistic director of New York Stage and Film. And I get great, amazing notes from her. And I do some rewrites. And then we go into a casting process. We did 2 weeks of rehearsal in New York before coming up. And we've been here for a week and a half, almost 2 weeks, I think. I mean, it's an amazing opportunity. New York Stage and Film, the Powerhouse, does something that very few, hardly any other places in America do in terms of new work in the theater, is that you have an opportunity to truly explore your play up on its feet with design elements in a real rehearsal without it being reviewed. So it is a presentation, it is a show, but it's also, the understanding is that it's in process. And plays need to be up on their feet to really grow, to become themselves fully. And there's hardly any places where you get that opportunity. So I feel very lucky. I feel like we've done amazing work on the play. I'm really excited for the audiences to start coming, because then you also get to learn more. And this play in particular, it's a play where really, because of the structure, which is something that is different for me, because I usually write I'm really in one location the whole time. And this has different locations, but they're specific to the structure and the order of the play and sort of the way the story gets told. I actually really did need to see it up to view the structure and see how it was working and the transitions, which are really incorporated and important to the play, if they worked, if they didn't, what was working, what wasn't. And we're still in that process, joyfully.
When you've created a show that has those specific elements you just mentioned, the structure is very important, the setting, the time, the place, mm-hmm. the way that it comes out, so it must be also important to work with a director who wants to observe the strictures you've laid out.
Yes, I am very lucky in the fact that I have a handful of really great collaborators that we've been together over, I think, almost the entirety of our professional careers. And Jackson Gay is my director, and she has directed, I think, all told, more of my plays than any other person. She's an amazing director. She's great with new work. She's great with actors. I just feel really lucky to have her, and it's been great that we've been provided this opportunity to work in this environment here. So I'm feeling joy.
The shorthand you develop must be invaluable.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's also great to be known that well. I think we both know each other really, really well. And I think there's something that interesting that's really beautiful that happens over time, like in the way in which you begin to live inside each other's work. And I mean, there's who we all are is our outside of our work and our daily life with our friends and our families. And then there's also that, for me, that me that's the work me. And I feel lucky because Jackson knows all of the me's, just because we've been together for so long. But yeah, our shorthand is amazing. I also really trust her. So it allows me to, I think it makes for a genuinely more collaborative environment. I think, you know, one of the things that Joanna is trying to address here is that as a playwright in America, there isn't as many opportunities for production as would be great for new work. Because you really work out the kinks in production, and production is expensive, and how do you do that? And, you know, with the sort of economic situation of theater and audiences and ticket prices and all of those things that we all deal with when we're lovers of theater. And so this is a circumstance where I'm provided that opportunity in a way to really grow, like I said, where people are getting to watch the growth and know it's growing rather than seeing it as this done thing, which allows me to keep working through the whole process is amazing with a director who, like I said, you said, we have an incredible shorthand. And so I'm able to let go of the reins in a lot of ways. And I think that that's also hard to get because of the lack of opportunity for production. Playwrights don't always get the opportunity to get to be really great collaborators and really trust the people they're in a room with. I think I went full circle there and was cohesive, but
you were great.
Good luck to everyone.
An interesting part of your history of your career is 13P. For people who aren't familiar, could you tell us about that, please?
13P was and is an awesome theater company. It disbanded. It was started by some awesome playwrights who, Madeline George, Rob Hendel, and Anne Washburn, who were actually trying to address exactly what we're talking about, that, you know, that the idea of process and development actually includes production. So they're like, let's just get together a bunch of playwrights and produce all 13 playwrights, and then we'll disband. And originally, I think we asked 17 playwrights or maybe 19 playwrights, so it was just the 13 came out of like the 13 of us who were like, okay, yeah, sure, we'll do it. And then it really helped. I think we came at just the right time where presenting sort of that model of production and also a group of playwrights together was a definite sort of answering of a call of frustration from everybody, theaters included, because everybody who loves theater wants to do good work. So we existed. We did 13 productions. I was P number 8. Some of the most exciting writers, I think, writing today, playwrights. And yeah, I was P8. I did have a crazy big thing called Monstrosity. Yeah.
Whenever I've heard about this, I think it's so cool that you said, we'll do this and we'll disband. And then you did. You did disband instead of being like, well, it's kind of working. Let's keep trying or something like that.
Yes. I mean, to us, that was the cornerstone of what made us special. Was it, and also this idea of a new model for production. And I think that, I mean, it's hard, right? It's a mixed bag. Like, how do you keep something, there's a certain degree of anarchy to theater, which is what makes it so much fun. The creation of theater, you have a bunch of like sort of mad hatters and stray cats that got together and are creating these creations and, you know, that are talking about, telling stories about us, you know, our society and the world that we're living in. And, you know, how do you support that and maintain that freedom? And I think, you know, for us, we felt like we didn't want to get top heavy in a way. We, you know, that there's a way in which institutions, the more an institution lives, and institutions are very, very necessary for theater, and simultaneously, the more they exist, the more they cost to continue to exist. And we just wanted to be like, hey, playwrights out there, hey, American theater, we can just get together and create a circumstance for us to get better at what we do together, and then we cannot do it anymore. And I was one of the things that I'm most proud of is that we kept to the disbanding. I think that's what made us work, ultimately.
Lucy Thurber's play, Transfers, directed by Jackson Gay, runs at Vassar College in New York Stage and Film's Powerhouse Theater through July 10th. For ticket and showtime information, visit powerhouse.vassar.edu.